This is Uprising. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're broadcasting live from the steps of City Hall in downtown Los Angeles, where the Occupy Los Angeles movement has been encamped since October 1st. And in other parts of the country, of course, there are similar movements taking place. On Tuesday afternoon in Boston, nearly 141 protesters were arrested because they refused to abide by police requests to move from the newly renovated Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy Greenway. Such an event is reminiscent of the arbitrary arrests which took place a week ago in San Francisco. 80 officers reportedly disassembled 200 campers at 12:45 midnight, in which one of the protesters was arrested for supposedly assaulting an officer. Yesterday, the police arrested 11 Occupy San Francisco protesters on the charges of blocking the entrances to the Wells Fargo headquarters. Nearly 300 protesters had been gathered around this Wells Fargo building, dancing, singing, and chanting loudly, "We are the 99%. The protesters were portraying their anger towards the foreclosures that banks have issued. Similarly, yesterday, 9 people were arrested at 1 a.m. at De La Guerra Plaza in Santa Barbara. Here in Los Angeles, the relationship with the Los Angeles Police Department has been generally cordial, but this has led to some internal divisions. And we now turn to two guests. Mario Brito is a member of the General Assembly. He's been at the occupation here in Los Angeles since the beginning. Welcome to Uprising, Mario.
Good morning. Thank you.
And also with us is Alejandra Cruz. She's a member of the Committee Against Police Brutality at Occupy LA. Welcome, Alejandra. Mario, let me start with you. How do you explain the relationship between Occupy LA and the LAPD, given that the LAPD has not always been the, let's just say, nicest police department? We remember May Day in MacArthur Park and, of course, the Rampart Police Department. The LAPD has a sordid history.
Well, let me begin by saying that, first of all, Occupation LA stands in solidarity with our brothers and sisters who have been victims of police brutality and the other occupations. And that, one, we look at it, and look, I've been part of the immigrant rights movement for a very long period of time and been part of the police brutality movement before this as well. But we have to be honest in terms of the reality. We have had a very cordial relationship in the sense that they know that what our rights are. We know what our rights are. We explained our rights very clearly and concisely to the police, and that's one of the reasons why we've been able to operate and function, because we look at it the long haul. If we're going to have a sort of a combative relationship when it's not necessary and force a closure of our movement prematurely, it doesn't serve anybody's interest but the capitalist interest.
Alejandro, how do you respond to that? And what have been some of the problems that you have felt?
I think that we're undermining our own strength by saying that the reason why we're allowed to exist here is because we've been having private conversations in which we're appeasing police directives. I think that the fact that when we had 1,000 people, we marched on the sidewalk was not a show of strength that we actually have. It was a sign of weakness. The fact that we are getting top-down directives from Mario and some of the other organizers pretty much handing down police directives, I think, is destructive to our
movement.
What do you
mean by handing down police directives?
I think like there's room that is given in the General Assembly for announcements that are given by people with Mario who have assumed an authoritative position in this movement, saying you guys can't camp on the lawn. If you camp on the lawn, you're going to get arrested, and you know we're not going to protect you. We're not going to stand in defense of what you're doing. And I really believe that the reason why New York was so successful is not because they acquiesced to the whims of the police, but because they stood up to them. And I don't think we would have expanded to 200 cities across the state if New York didn't take the position that they did against the police.
Okay, Mario, how do you respond to that?
Well, one, it's a false premise to begin with. Nobody's given orders in the Occupy LA. Every decision is made at the General Assembly. And even when these decisions are made, people are free to make individual choices where they comply or they don't comply.
So if people wanted to camp where the cops didn't want them to,
sure,
they could do so?
We're allowed to. And furthermore, we took the position with the police that, and with our attorneys, that we would protect those people who chose not to comply with those orders that we felt. In fact, we used another legal argument that we thought that the U.S. Supreme Court case dealing with 24-hour vigils and tents allowed us to be there. And we said they're just resting with their eyes closed. That's all. And therefore, they have a right to be in their tent. So the whole concept that there's top-down leadership is false. Decisions are made in consensus, which is not an easy process. In fact, what happens many times is a minority of people have a tendency of blocking the will of the majority. And to be honest, that's sometimes a difficult thing to deal with, because a lot of us get frustrated with the fact that, you know, majority of people feel a certain way, but a small group of maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 people are blocking the will of 300 500.
Well, let me ask Alejandra then, through this method, have you and those who agree with you not been able to raise these issues during the General Assembly using, methods of bringing issues up?
Yeah, we formed this committee against police brutality because we wanted to be critical of the role of police. And we presented our position to the General Assembly. And what we did, we said we wanted to do Know Your Rights training. We wanted to do history and teach-ins on the role of police. And we got wide support. Like, there was a lot of consensus fingers in the air when we spoke. However, there was a small vocal minority of people coming up and saying that just having the position of being against police brutality was violent. And, you know, we are, as black and brown youth, coming here and saying this is our experience. We have people in our families being deported. We have heightened police presence in our communities. We do not have a good relationship with police. And to undermine that is silencing, and it really is imposing a privilege upon us as members of Occupy LA that is reinforcing the hierarchies in our society that we're trying to challenge.
Now, Mario, you said you've been involved in the immigrants' rights movement. I understand you yourself have dealt with cops in the past. How do you respond when Alejandra says this?
I think it's false, and her pretext is false. I've been a victim of police brutality in the hands of not only the LAPD but the Sheriff's Department. And so when people throw around such rhetoric without the proper context, it's dangerous to what's really going on. It's not being honest. There were many older African-American brothers and sisters who are part of Occupation LA who felt offended when someone uses the term end police brutality at Occupation LA. They feel offended because they're saying, we're from the deep south and we've dealt with police brutality. This is not police brutality, what's going on here. In fact, this is a situation where the police, or at least the rank and file, are saying we're part of the 99%. And many rank and file cops have come up and dropped off toys, coffee, donuts for the kids as well, to let us know as part of the Occupy LA that we are part of the 99%. So when we have this antagonizing relationship that is not necessary, and here's my position: everybody should have the ability to speak at the General Assemblies. And if people felt like their voices weren't being heard, that was wrong. First and foremost, I reject anybody who felt like they were wrong, or anybody who felt that it was necessary to censor anybody. It's wrong. It should have never happened if it did happen. And on behalf of Occupation LA or Occupy LA, I want to say that I'm sorry if you felt that your voice wasn't heard. That should have never happened. I argued strongly that people need to be heard no matter what, even if you don't agree with the position. But here's the other thing. It goes both ways. You know, you have two of these, which are ears, and one of these for a reason, which is your mouth. Because we're supposed to listen with our hearts, and we're supposed to listen to other people's points of view. And you can't be throwing accusations at people that are not fair, especially people who...
Sure.
We're in this for the long haul.
Well, if somebody
wants to play checkers, we want to play chess.
Let me bring Alejandra back into the conversation, not only to respond to what Mario just said, but also to bring up the issue that even in places like New York, there have been attempts to reach out to the police to say, you are part of the 99%. There have been, although there has been police brutality at Occupy Wall Street in a big way, there also have been olive branches. Do you feel that taking a hard line against the police on the basis of the general police brutality that we always see may limit the movement?
I don't think so. I think that being realistic is important in this movement. For example, this was an incident that one of our members witnessed a couple days ago where there was an older Latino man who was getting free medical attention. He was bleeding from his mouth profusely. And the ambulance was called, and instead of an EMT greeting him, it was a police officer. And he went up to this man who didn't speak English, and knowing very well that he might have been one of the thousands of undocumented immigrants in Los Angeles, he asked him for his social security number. That man was taken not by the ambulance, but by police. Nobody said anything. Nobody questioned
the police's
presence.
And did that happen within the Occupy LA?
Yes, that happened a few days ago here at Los Angeles at City Hall. And those are the types of incidents that we do see as police brutality, because it is intimidation and it is destructive to our movement. And for us to be naive and say that if we don't, you know, just completely welcome police into our ranks, that we're going to be destroyed is, I think, naive. And I think that police as individuals are definitely part of the 99%, but as an institution, they are protecting the 1%. They are protecting the whims of the 1%. They are protecting a system of inequality where there are foreclosures, where there is unemployment, where there is deportation, where there is brutality. And we're here to say that because we understand the structural reality of what's happening here. And, you know, whether or not a police individual is good or bad is not the question. It's the police as an institution, historically, what they are here to protect.
Mm-hmm. Mario?
Well, that's a very convoluted statement. It's very hard to really respond to it. First of all, the first part, I know of no incident of what she's referring to. In fact, we heard a rumor of such an incident. We reported directly to the police whether this is true. We asked for people come forward as witnesses. Nobody knows anything. It's rumor.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's rumor and innuendo, and how could I respond to rumor and innuendo? Because it's not fair.
But suppose such a thing did happen, how would you respond to it if such a thing did happen?
First of all, if it did happen, I would immediately go, if I was in the vicinity, go to the police involved and says, first of all, you don't have a right to ask for someone's social security number when you're trying to deal with a medical situation. And of course, the EMT should be there. So again, I don't know whether this is true. I can tell you that there's been several people who heard the story, maybe two or three people who've heard the story, but nobody who's actually seen that happen. So to me, it's hard for me to respond to something I don't know, and there hasn't been anybody who's come forward with actual documentation this occurred. And if it did occur, again, we would have our attorneys on this again. But let me come back to this point where she rejects the fact that the police are part of the 99% or that they don't have a role to play in this whole process. First of all, we live in a society which has diverse people, diverse points of view, and diverse ideas. And I quote Martin Luther King, we all didn't come on the same ship, but damn it, we're on the same boat. And we this is the reality here. And we're on the same boat, and this boat is this planet, the boat is this country. And we all have to get together, we all have to figure out a way that's what makes the occupation movements or Occupy LA unique, is in the sense that there is no high top-down leadership saying that this is how it has to happen. Debates happen organically, and that's why it takes time to come with consensus. It's never something easy. People have to have that inner exchange of ideas. But if we don't come with an exchange of ideas that are positive, that are open to other people's points of view, then we're never going to get anything accomplished.
I'm going to ask both of you if you agree with my understanding of your positions. Then, Mario, it seems to me that your position and the position that is represented by the General Assembly is that we are going to accept that the police are acting in good faith until they prove us wrong. And Alejandra, your position, I think, is that we're going to look at the history of police brutality in Los Angeles and assume that the police are not our friend until they prove us wrong. Is that accurate? Mario first, yes or no?
I think it is accurate to a point. None of us are naive. I mean, we're coming with eyes wide open with the historical mm-hmm. context of what's occurred.
And then Alejandra?
I think our role is more to prepare for the instance of things
like... So you're
like,
assuming things will go wrong.
Well, if we would have been able to, you know, meet and have the type of discussions that we wanted to have instead of defending our position, we could have been better prepared
meet
for...
With?
as a group, because we had to defend ourselves.
The whole assembly.
We could have had a response prepared for the incidents that happened with the man who was taken away by police. We could have been prepared for these things, and that's what we want to do. We want to be prepared. We want to be, you know, a lot of people are new to the movement. A lot of us have been organizing Los Angeles communities before, and we want to just, you know, share our experience with dealing with police in a way that doesn't promote unnecessary clashes and doesn't promote violence against our people.
Well, finally, let me ask the two of you, aside from this issue on the relationship with the police, is there broad agreement on other issues that the two of you feel have enough overlap in terms of issues of racism, economic justice, and broader issues that are reflected across Occupy LA, Mario?
I like to believe there is. And one of the things we have a rule, just so people understand, in Occupy LA is that keep your ego in check, meaning you have a right to your ideas, but be willing to hear other people's ideas. And I just also want to make really important that people understand this, is that not once, not twice, but three times in the General Assembly, the General Assembly unanimously had consensus that we reject all forms of violence. I want to make that very clear. We are a nonviolent social revolution.
All right. Final thoughts, Alejandra?
I came to this movement because I really wanted to see a change in society, and I think that's where we want to eliminate racism, we want to eliminate attacks on undocumented immigrants, we want to fight against all these things, and that's why we're part of this, and I think that we can make it work, but it's going to be a struggle, and there's going to be these debates.
And that's why we're having that debate right here on KPFK. I want to thank the two of you so much for joining us today. Alejandra Cruz is a member of the Committee Against Police Brutality at Occupy LA, and Mario Brito, a member of the General Assembly. He's been at the occupation since the start and was one of the many organizers that's been putting this together, a cog, as he likes to put it, in the machinery. Thank you both so much, and best of luck to you.